Join the Pop Life Podcast conversation. Follow us on Twitter at The Pop Life Podcast. Find us on iTunes at The Pop Life Podcast. Be sure to rate us, please, and find us on SoundCloud and share and like and subscribe. Thanks.
Welcome to the Pop Life Podcast, coming to you from the Crosby Collective Studio, starring your hosts, Jeffrey Sledge, Naima Cochran, and Sean Young. If it's top of mind in pop culture, it's up for discussion. Thank you for joining us this week. The Pop Life begins in 3, 2, 1.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yep. Let me let them know we're on. Sean, how you doing?
I'm good. Just been running all day. I'm in Atlanta. We'll be here for a minute.
How long is a minute? I'm heading down there next week.
Oh, I'm here till the 7th at least.
I'm there until the 6th. Okay.
Okay. Yeah, we here. I got my mother-in-law in tow.
Mm-hmm.
Got a little running buddy with her. So,
are you guys?
I'm downstairs
down
in the car.
You guys are shooting?
No. Oh. No. Yeah, we got. We are shooting a show right now. The Hip Hop Homicide show.
Okay.
But that's in L.A. They'll be down here in a couple weeks, but we're not going to be on the ground.
So you just on mother-in-law duty?
Yeah. like regular duty.
Yeah.
And, you know, the mother-in-law duty is, you know, we going into month 6 now.
Right.
So, you know, ain't but so many ways I could cook chicken. And, what do you do?
Right.
But she really came down here to check out this doctor for her knee.
Hello, Pop Life Podcast. Today is March 22.
March is flying.
Yeah, it's basically. When is Easter? When is Easter?
Easter is the 17th.
Oh, of still April. Away. Okay, still a ways away. Still a ways away. Okay. All right. We here. There's a lot going on in the world. Have you been watching the confirmation hearings?
No, because it's going to stress me out.
I can't.
I watched a little bit of it today for the first time. I don't know if I caught a good day. It wasn't that bad today. They've been, you know, asking her questions. They let her answer. There's been no, the moments I saw anyway, there's been no gotcha stuff. She's been, you know, and I saw some clips from yesterday. There was a very touching moment where Cory Booker talked about her daughter, one of her daughters, she has two daughters, I believe. One of her daughters had written a letter to President Obama asking Obama to make her the Supreme Court Justice. And so it was just about, it's like how it came true. And the daughter was, of course, there, and it was like emotional. And so she's very well put together. I mean, not surprising. She has all the credentials. She's not getting rattled. She's sharp. She's thorough. I don't see how she doesn't get confirmed.
She's an exemplary candidate, but
that's
you
what
know,
I'm saying, like, you cannot.
They gonna
she
do
checks,
whatever
she
they
literally
can.
Checks every box.
Yeah,
literally.
But they gonna do whatever they. Apparently, she would. I think, if I'm not mistaken, she would be one of the most qualified justices if she's.
I saw a thing where she literally is the most qualified because like every kind of major box you checked in like Kavanaugh and Amy Barrett, like I only had like two boxes out of like six or whatever. And then
Barrett being the least qualified judge.
Yeah, Barrett's supposed to be like.
She was barely qualified to be a circuit court judge. That's
the thing. Like, she should have been on people's court or some shit. And then Clarence.
Isn't he in the hospital?
He's in the hospital, with some type of virus, they say. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's fatal or not fatal, whatever, but you know, he ain't in the best of health, bottom line. So there's a chance.
Look, that any virus with, for that old nigga is definitely on the ropes.
It's not minor.
It's not good.
At all.
Yeah. So there's a chance. There's a chance that, that Joe and Kamala, could get a second one in there. If old Clarence don't make it through, end up at heaven's door.
I ain't gonna wish ill on nobody, but
are we sure he's taking the elevator up?
Yeah, exactly. He might be headed downstairs.
Prayers down.
Old Clarence went downstairs. Inshallah. down to the basement.
Yeah. Nigga taking the express.
Exactly. No stop. Straight down. And your wife's right behind you. But anyway, let's move on. I wanted to bring up RIP to Tracy Braxton before I forgot, who passed away. We didn't talk about this last week, right? She hadn't passed away yet.
Yeah. I don't think we did.
Passed away of cancer of the esophagus, I believe it was. I believe it was esophageal cancer. Only 50 years old. Obviously one of the Braxton sisters. To me, I guess the most relatable of the sisters.
Because she was the one who didn't really grow up in it. Like,
and she had a job.
She had her kids early.
Yeah. And she had a job. She worked in, I think, for Baltimore City or something. Like, right.
She stayed in Baltimore.
Yeah, she stayed in Baltimore and, like, just worked while she got pregnant when they got the deal. And so she was definitely the most relatable. And, they kept the sickness pretty quiet, as their right. So when she passed away, it was a shock to everybody.
It does explain something, though. Tamar has been kind of on this reconciliation, this path of reconciliation for the past couple years, really, since Ayana. And she falls off.
I forgot the Ayana episode.
Gets back on, but she seemingly out of the blue posted about Tracy a couple of months ago, apologizing for insulting her on Twitter at some point. Yeah. And it was a weird...
Tamar treated Tracy terribly.
Really badly. And she was apologizing. And it was like, it's funny because it was like a weird kind of apology because she screen capped the ugly shit she said about her and posted it. So I'm like, you gonna apologize by reminding everybody what you said about your sister? But it's Tamar. So I just took it as, she's almost like, the alcoholic working the steps and making amends. But I'm not saying she is an alcoholic. I'm saying it feels.
Let me say like this.
But I just took it as that. But now I'm thinking that may have been the point when they realized that like Tracy.
It was kind of, there was no turning back. So like definitely want to say peace and love to them, and also want to give a shout out to Charles Edelman. Is it Edelman or is Edelman right?
Edelman.
But niggas always say Edmund.
Peace to Charles
Edelman. I say Edmonds.
He's actually been gone for a while. They just he's been out because when I saw you post about it, I think he died like over the summer.
Oh, did he? Oh, okay. I wanted to say peace to him because Miss Bakery. I know
it was Intimans.
Well, I'm saying it the black way. Intimans.
You threw me off because I know it's Intimans, and I'm like Edmonds. It's Intimans.
Intimans Bakery is in the tri-state area is probably the most popular commercial bakery products. You know, there's Hostess, there's Drake Cakes, but Edmonds is definitely the most popular.
Granted, Sara Lee has a chokehold on the South, but Intimans gets nationwide.
Yeah. He was the last of the siblings. Their father started the company. I think it was three brothers that took it over. They were German immigrants, and they, started his company. I think his father invented some type of assembly line to make the cakes and stuff. There's the way they did it. They invented this process to make the cakes, and I just wanted to say that because they was in everybody's house. Black,
they still
white,
in my but, house. There's always an Intimans box or something in my house. Yeah. It's never not. It's if it's not a pound cake, it's some donuts. Mm-hmm. It's something. I believe in Intimans up in these parts.
And they did one of those companies that's just very interesting. Like I mean, there's still a lot of companies like this, but lots of companies like this. But there's this company that they were, I said, they were, you know, New York guys. They were Brooklyn first, then Long Island. And it just, they kind of stayed low. Like, there was no politics to it. It was just, everybody bought this shit. Black people, white people, young, old, it don't matter. Like, everybody, because everybody has a box, or has had a box of cake, that pound cake, that marble cake, the pies, something in the crib. And matter of fact, when I was staying out of Penny's, I found out there's actually, they got a couple stores.
Yeah, there's a couple of Intamin stores, and sometimes you can find items there that you can't find in other places.
Exactly.
I want to say there was one in Long Island too. A couple of
there's one, that's the one I went to in Long Island. Yeah. I was riding one day and I was like, oh shit.
They used to have one in Jersey. They used to have one. It was almost like an outlet store.
Exactly.
Yeah. Go there and, yeah.
Yeah, kind of low key. So I just want to say peace to them. I want to start off with this thing. We'll get into what you watch and all that though. But I just want to start off with this one thing. It's been off and on for I guess a few months now. I don't know how long time, but it keeps popping up on Twitter specifically about people debating what is the South. It's like, look,
this debate,
the Mason-Dixon line,
to no fucking end.
To no end. I saw a girl. But I saw a
the
girl
Mason
last
Dixon
week.
The Mason-Dixon line feels invalid though, because Maryland does not subscribe to a lot of that shit that y'all say is the South.
I know, but Maryland is technically part of the South.
Well,
Maryland had slaves.
But Inca, this is the argument that people make, right? People are like, because certain places do not subscribe to what we consider Southern,
down South.
Southern, you know, Southern culture, Southern activities, you know, whatever, that they're not the South. And my argument is it's a regional descriptor first, right? So like what we have called Southern mannerisms, Southern values, Southern
dialect,
racism, Southern, all of that comes from the fact that this was the way states in the South moved. So what is going to happen is what's considered Southern will eventually change. So because that descriptor of Southern is dictated on the regional location of the places that it comes from, you can't then use the descriptor to supersede the location. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, you're still the cultural argument can't supersede the actual location. Like, somebody was trying to tell me that Florida is not the South, and I'm like, it is literally the southernmost place in the fucking
Let me chime in, because I think Florida, and I've always thought Florida was interesting, and I think that they do that because when we say Florida, we forget about that panhandle and we forget about North Florida.
Yes.
That Florida Georgia line, right?
Pensacola and all that stuff. Yep.
We only think about Orlando Miami. South.
Right.
Right? Which is Disney and Miami.
Right.
And we do not we just don't connect the dots.
Like fucking Tallahassee is in Florida. That's
yes. We don't get Jacksonville. And where's Roy Jones from?
Pensacola.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
And that's
nigga out there fighting roosters. Is that how the fuck is that not Southern,
right,
nigga?
So I think you're right. There's the people are arguing the cultural argument. And my thing is, culture changes. Culture always changes. But the actual descriptor is based on regional location.
Based on the Mason-Dixon line.
Yeah, that's
and you're right, because in theory you could take a lot of Ohio,
right,
and take the cultural things that they do,
right? It's Mississippi.
And apply Southern
country.
Because everybody migrated.
And like the whole fucking the blue laws and all of that shit that kind of migrated. And listen, I personally feel like people inherently still carry the idea that the South is slow,
right,
that they are not as advanced, that they are not as smart. And I think that it comes out when they do these sorts of things, because there's always an attempt to make themselves less
separate.
And I'm using air quotes, country. That's
well, and that's the other thing. Country and Southern, with. Country and Southern are not completely synonymous because the Midwest. Because
niggas
in
St. Louis,
the Midwest,
Midwest
is
the most. The Midwest is the most country region in my
life. Literally, they have all the country. They have all the plains and the fields and the fuck. We got the ranches aren't in the fucking Southeast. The ranches are out in other places and shit. So country. So there's a couple things. Country and Southern are not the same. Racist and Southern are not inherently the same. But it's like, it is the fact that, you know, the if you are talking about a state of the Confederacy, that is a Southern state. Not all Southern states were in the Confederacy, but every Confederate state was in the South, right? So that's that. But also, like, this idea, the way I know that people understand this is because people will be like, well, you can't still say Miami is the South. Well, where is it then? Because you can't say it's the North. You can't say it's the Midwest. You can't say, so nobody can argue what it's supposed to be if it's not
and
the
South. And honestly, with Miami, you know, once you step out of kind of like that Cosmo area and you start getting deeper into the outskirts of Miami, it's right. Very Southern. It's like,
yeah.
It's,
but,
you know,
but that's,
fields
but,
and all that.
But that's also in line with, again, I don't think a lot of people, I think a lot of the people that make these statements and try to make these arguments are also not people that are well-traveled. And by well-traveled, I mean going, like, I don't care that you stayed at the Marriott Marquis on 42nd
right.
20 times.
You don't
if
know
you ain't really, if you ain't been to Harlem, if you ain't been to the Bronx, if you ain't been to them little pockets or go to get some Mexican food over in Astoria or go get some. You, if you're not really diving into that shit, then you don't
ain't really been to New York.
You ain't really, it ain't really.
You've been a tourist
all the way over for you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so that's what I think that they do. They go to those places, they go to Miami, and niggas don't leave that strip at all. And God bless. You're probably better off not.
Yeah, exactly. And actuality, don't fuck around. But yeah, but I've seen people start to say that. I saw the girl last week that said Tennessee ain't the South, which is retarded. I saw a girl say, and this I remember Pimp C started this shit. God love Chad, but he was on some bullshit that the Carolinas and Virginia are the East Coast. No, they're on the East Coast.
They're the Southeast,
but they're Southern states. Like, what?
I
saw a girl last week said North Carolina ain't the South. I'm like, what are we talking about here? This is the
right.
South.
Are you okay?
This is
exactly like Memphis ain't the South, really.
Like, I get the argument for Mid-Atlantic being its own cultural thing. I totally get that, but North Carolina is the fucking.
I think
but I was also gonna say you
border
can't.
States.
Oh, go ahead.
I think there are a couple of border states
like
that
Kentucky
I could,
for me.
I could listen to an argument on.
Yeah.
Okay. If you wanted to argue Maryland, I could listen to that. If you wanted to even argue Oklahoma, I might listen to that.
I might listen to Oklahoma, okay. And I don't ever know where to put West Virginia, but and I forget it exists.
Or Arkansas.
I forget it.
I think West Virginia was under the Mason-Dixon, I believe, wasn't it?
It's like right. It depends. Right. There's different lines. It's like right there.
Yeah.
But
it's
also kind of
parallel with Maryland, but
The thing about Maryland to me that both culturally and regionally takes because people try to be like Virginia is not the South. And I'm like Virginia was the seat of the
Virginia.
Like even if not culturally, it's under the Mason-Dixon, but also it was literally the seat of the Confederacy. Like it's the South. And Maryland state flag had the fucking battle flag in it. Like I'm just like let's have some real conversations, right? So you know culturally things, and regionally, and people conflate the two. But my thing is like you can't. Like, okay, saying it's the East Coast is like, again, the Southeast exists. And I think with people who work in music, especially because of radio reps, we know every fucking region segmented and whatever, like, pull out a map. And that's the thing. I can understand people wanting to disassociate from the legacy of the South, right? Mm-hmm. Especially in an era where the use of the battle flag has spread beyond the Mason-Dixon and the use of those, you know, that call for those cultural ideals, which basically means racism has spread, you know, in force again. But I need people to remember that this is like your state did not pick up legs and move someplace else on the map. You are still in the southern region of the United States of America. Like it just is whether you're in the southeast or not. Just like it is what it is. Texas is the only state.
Yeah, that's because
arguably ain't none of this shit.
Texas is in the south.
I was going to say that they was Mexico when all this was happening.
Texas could really Texas actually should just secede from the rest of the country. They are their own fucking shit.
Yeah, they do their own thing. Wanted to bring up, I don't know if it was a controversy, but I guess I wasn't tripping on the Ralph Lauren collection that they partnered with Spelman and Morehouse, the clothing that they made. And there were some pictures up, and people were, you know the jokes is flying, you know, because the clothes are very much throwback, you know, to like the probably the 40s type of energy, like long skirts for the women, you know,
like the Jod Hoppers.
Yeah, the suits, the tweed suits for the men, and the sweaters with the M on them, and all that. I actually like the collection. I mean, I didn't go to the Morehouse, so I would never wear it because I'm that nigga. Like, I'm not wearing these clothes from another black college. But, I liked it. Stop, Inga, come on now.
No, Morgan, you know, State colors are fire. I'm with you on that.
Yeah, I'm just that nigga. Like, you don't do that. If I went to Morgan, I'm never gonna wear a Tuskegee Hampton. I'm not going to their homecoming. But that's just how I was brought up.
Me myself personally.
I was raised up.
So you won't go to like a Howard homecoming?
No. Fuck that. Especially because Howard and Morgan are like rivals.
So I know.
Yeah, so that's why you know. So no,
lived between them, but
yeah. So I mean, I'm sure the homecoming is a great time. Like, God bless, but I'm not stepping kids put on that goddamn campus because I didn't go there. But anyway,
it's hilarious what your lines are. By the way, I just wanted to say that.
Yeah, my lines are ridiculous, and I understand that.
okay,
but I like the clothes. But people kind of joking. What did y'all think about the collection, though? Did y'all like it?
I like the collection. I heard the arguments that, you know, it feels very much to a throwback to like the days of, this is what other people are saying, it's not what I said. Mm-hmm. That it feels like a throwback to the days of, like, you know, paper bag tests and, you know, an era where it's like a throwback to the era where the reason people were at these schools is because they couldn't go to other schools, you know? So it's like, it's not necessarily.
That was a great era though.
I mean, for some, yeah. And fashion, fashion wise, yeah. So I got some people were like, you know, it's giving respectability and blah, blah, blah. But my thing is, I ain't go to Spelman, even though I was waitlisted at Spelman. Spelman was my first choice school, and I'm still sad. I ain't go to Spelman. And, you know, I'm not a product of the AUC. So I'm going to stay out of it. I don't know. But
Ralph Lauren did it in conjunction with the school, so I'm sure some of the direction came from the schools.
Yeah, so don't which get it. People would still say doesn't mean some respectability.
I don't necessarily.
Shit.
Well, it also had I believe there were a couple of graduates of Morehouse that are involved on the Ralph side. On the Ralph side, they worked there. They worked at Ralph.
Okay.
So this was a capsule. It was a capsule collection. It was specifically designed to capture a period.
Right.
If you've ever bought polo, and I'm gonna keep it a buck, and I might sound very elitist right now.
Well, you were a Brooklyn nigga, so y'all was polo.
A lot of you niggas are Marshall polo wearers. A lot of you niggas are TJ Maxx polo wearers.
Yeah, you ain't been to the mansion.
Drive me. You polo by Ralph Lauren, not Ralph Lauren.
Yeah, you kind of like, you're not even at the 34th Street Macy's polo section. And God bless. Go to Kohl's, get your two racks of polo.
Wow. You ain't even giving me like Jimmy Jazz. You just gotta throw Kohl's in.
They're not even at Jimmy Jazz. All jokes aside, like Jimmy Jazz will have a couple fly pieces.
It would. I've caught a piece of Jimmy before.
And so I say that because it really just showed me that they really didn't kind of know Ralph's clothing.
It's an elitist brand. Americana brand. Yeah.
And there are so many different styles
right?
When you go into Ralph, right? So there's the sporty, there's literally the sport version. There's the this version, there's the that version. So there's so many different versions. Super,
blue
super
label,
high end.
Black label, but purple label.
Purple label, all of those sorts of different things. And so I thought the collection was great. I am not, you know, I'm not like tripping over myself to get it. I'm definitely going to buy something because I didn't go to Morehouse, but Morehouse has gotten more than their fair share of my motherfucking brand.
Amen.
So you motherfucking right. I'm aware whatever the fuck I want to wear with that M on it, motherfucker. All exactly. them checks, they cash.
Check my bank account.
But I thought it was cool. I thought that there was some I mean, there are obvious pieces I would never wear just because it's not my style and it's just not my bag. But there were a couple of pieces when you started to see some of the pictures with the beautiful crest on there, really classic, clean pieces. And Ralph, for me, and I'm going to keep it another 100 with you, a lot of you big niggas need to be at Ralph. Okay, because they're the last of the Mohicans that are making shit that are cut for American bodies. Okay, right. And a lot of you niggas are out here, you're squeezing into them funny looking jeans with the ripples on the knee. Okay, and you need to be down there to the big and tall section.
Right,
you need to be down there to the big and tall.
And the ripples on the knee.
Yeah, and you know what I'm talking about.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
I don't know what it is with them jeans and everybody. No, I agree with you.
I've never bought those jeans.
Aesthetically, I thought the line was great, and I thought it's a Ralph Lauren line. I thought it looked great, but you know, it
absolutely
the thing is. This and also my fallback style is always a little on the preppy style, a little on the preppy side. So I love like those.
So you're a Ralph person then.
I am a Ralph person. Like in college, my whole shit was Ralph, Tommy, and Gap. Like two-thirds of my closet was that shit. So it's Americana. So I dug it. But you know, the thing is, niggas don't let black people do nothing these days without a whole social, political, fucking, you know, class, economic.
And you know what's funny? It always starts light.
Yeah.
The jokes are always light and they're always funny.
And then somebody come with a think piece.
And then that nastiness starts to ooze out. And there is a thing
in the faux academic language, which I hate.
Yes, and I will say this: there is a thing, and I have not attended a HBCU, so I understand that this might be a little bit raw for the people who have. But I understand that. Listen, there's really like five schools that get all of the attention, and these are two of those schools. And I think that there's a little bit of people being exhausted of that. And I understand that. I can understand if you go to Savannah State or some shit like that, that it's like, all right, Morehouse, nigga. Oh my God. I understand that. That's fair. I'm not here to argue that. But what I'm saying, there is a rich history, a long history, and that alumni is going to come and spin that bread.
They're
going to spend all that money.
That
shit going to be selling out like them DAP hoodies. I promise you.
Well, you know what happens is most of the five or six schools, for the most part, that are black colleges that get burned are private. They have these like Hampton and obviously Howard. Tuskegee, they're like private schools, so they have these big endowments. Like
FAM's private, FAM's private, I think.
Private. I think Spelman is private as well. Spelman Morehouse
definitely private. Yeah.
So they have these huge endowments, and they kind of do more stuff. But you know, anyway, I like the collection. But anyway,
but I also do want to say that this is going to sound fucked up, and this is really Gen X and old of me, but I don't like the idea. And again, I know this sounds fucked up and I need to shift my thinking. I don't like the idea that it's not okay that there are some areas that are considered elite areas, even in black life. It's almost like we're betraying the race, because if there's any level of like any degrees of, you know, achievement, marked achievement or exclusivity or anything like that in certain spaces, And I'm like, that's not realistic to expect everything to be flat, right? It's just not, it's not a thing that happens in any culture, in any ethnicity, in any race, in any kind of social area at all whatsoever. Some spaces are going to be more exclusive and be viewed as elite than others. And that just is what it is.
That's life. That's fucking life.
Exactly. It's life.
I don't know what to tell you, my nigga. Like, some people are going to have to go eat hamburgers and french fries, and some people are going to go eat steak and potatoes. I don't know what to tell you. It's time to grow up. Okay. Yeah. That's how the fucking real world operates, and you'll be all right.
You'll be all right. You'll live.
You'll be all right. You'll be all right.
I just want to mention real quick, we'll do a review, obviously, but I'm going to mention real quick. I think the Oscars are next weekend, or is it this weekend? They're coming up soon, either way.
Yeah.
Will Packer is producing, which I didn't realize till a few days ago.
Yep.
Now the whole Wanda, Regina Hall hosting makes so much sense. Like, oh, that's why. You know, again, Black colleges, all three of them. Will went to FAM, Wanda went to Hampton, Regina went to Howard.
Amy Schumer also hosting?
Yeah, Amy, yeah, but we ain't talking about
I was going to say, they had to sprinkle a little white in there.
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to see. Exactly. Looking forward to see what Will does. And we'll be watching and we'll be reviewing. Let's go into let's go into what you've been watching, but I think we're going to have to start, like, we'll just do like one show a piece because like, I think it takes a little too long. So, Inca, what have you been watching?
Says the nigga with eight shows he be watching.
I know,
no, but I'm only going to talk about one. I'm
it's
only
going to talk about.
I know, but
no, but you going to talk about one and what you watching? But then we about to do a breakdown of like three shows that your ass and Inca are the only two who watches on this motherfucking joint.
Whoa!
Y'all need to catch on up because loving.
Inca,
love
that's how you got here.
Love the mad
I know, but I mean, let me get my shit out. Okay. The only thing that is worth mentioning that I'm watching right now is The Last Days of Ptolemy Gray on Apple TV Plus. It is the new series,
right?
Yes, adapted from.
Is it a series?
It is a series from Walter Mosley's teleplay, okay. And it is absolutely outstanding.
Okay.
It stars Sam Jackson and Dominique Fishback, who is blowing me away every single week. It's very, very good. You're going to cry in the first episode, and that's okay.
I'm going to get into that, but I have to wait because I have almost everything I'm watching now is weekly, and it is driving me crazy.
It's worth it. I'll just say it's
I'm going to wait. I need to let some episodes stack up.
We're on episode, I think they just released three, and it's every Friday. So catch up, come on in. For anyone who doesn't know, it is the story of a black elder who is dealing with dementia, doesn't have a lot of family. He migrated from Mississippi to Atlanta at some point in his life. And because he has dementia, he has someone who is kind of a caretaker, who's his nephew, but it's his last family. In the first episode, he's unable to take care of him anymore. Enter Dominique Fishback, who is the bird character. And it's just a story of him trying to regain his memory and basically find this treasure and avenge some things that have happened to him. But it is so, so, so good.
It's very
good. So black.
Okay.
Very black.
Very black.
Okay, bro, what you watching? What you watching?
Pretty much that. The Tommy Gray.
Okay.
That's been my... So I've been into... we're looking at redoing our kitchen. So I've been really hard on the HGTV shows.
Well, that's your shit. That's what you do.
Yeah, so Rock the Block is one of... It's a really good show. So what they do is basically it's an all-star cast. And they take four houses that are raw.
Okay.
And then they take four show cast people, right? So it'll be like Egypt and Mike from Married to Real Estate. And they get one house. And then it'll be, I can't remember the guy's name, but there's another show. And then they'll take those two people and then they'll give them another house. And then they compete every week to do different designs and different build outs. And it's really, really interesting. It's really, really fun. They get to, you know, they get the money afterward. You win a prize every week. The fund goes up incrementally. So week one, you get an extra $1,000 and you get to put that into your space. They also have a budget, right? Like they can't go over budget. They have to work within these confines. The houses are pretty identical, but it's really, really good. And you can really see, it's interesting to see up close and in real time how people, like who they are and how it comes out in a design. That is probably one of the more fascinating things to watch, right? Because there's this one couple of they're twin sisters, and they are super eclectic. And so everything they do is just, they can't stop themselves. Like they can't do nothing regular. So it's real interesting, man.
Okay. All right, Nye, what you watching?
So I am watching this joint on Epix called From with Harold Perrineau.
Okay.
It's about this, there's this town that travelers find themselves stranded in. It seems to be somewhere like in the middle of the time-space continuum, because you can be in any state and all of a sudden your car gets stopped by this tree in the middle of the highway. And once you get past it, you're in this town and you can't leave once you're there. And once the sun goes down, there's like some kind of zombies or some kind of creatures that hunt the town. So it's really interesting, like the rituals and traditions they've set up to try to maintain a life there and protect themselves. But they're also trying to figure out if there's a way to get out and what the town is and what it's about. So I'm watching that, and it's weekly, but I think it's already up to like episode 6 or something like that. It's been really good. And it's what could be a cheesy plot line, but Harold Perrineau just brings a lot of heart to it. He's just really such an outstanding actor. And I've literally never seen him play the same thing twice. Like just his range is crazy. And you said only name one, but I'm gonna name two. There's this other show that's it's an NBC I think a limited series called The Thing About Pam. Is based on a Dateline episode from like 2014 about this woman who killed her best friend and set her her husband up for it. And it's Renee Zellweger, and she is killing that shit. Like
killing it.
It's fascinating. It almost has a like a Desperate Housewives feel to it, because it has like a narrator. And it's like fake jovial in the way they, you know, they kind of narrate, but it's like heavy shit happening. But it's really good. So it's on NBC, but then it's also like on Hulu and Peacock. So it's dope. Yeah.
Yeah, I've been seeing the commercials for that. So I blasted through Top Boy. It came out, I think, like last Thursday or something. Yeah, I think it was last Thursday. I blasted through it. It's a season. It's weird. It's technically it's season 4, but the first season is now called Summer House, Top Boy Summer House, and that's 1 and 2, and then this is Top Boy season 2, but there's actually been 4 seasons altogether. And watching this, I realized this show's been on since 2011 is when it started, but they had like a long break because it got canceled, and Drake intervened and set up a meeting at Netflix, and they picked it back up. This season, I loved it. Was awesome. Obviously, no spoilers, but it's a lot of shit that happens. They focus on a couple of the newer characters in their storylines this season, and then there's a crazy, you know, twist at the end. And I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the show a lot. I really liked Top Boy a lot. It was just super dope. So yeah, watch Top Boy if you haven't been watching it. I'm asking y'all, like, how does this work? Because me and Inka got to talk about Love and Marriage Huntsville.
Go ahead, do you? Y'all do y'all.
Inka, did you see the premiere?
I did.
Okay, hold on. I'm gonna start off because I know Nye and Sean don't watch this show, but just y'all can tap in on this level of niggardry, which I think I've never seen before. So Marceau and Tisa are a married couple. Mm-hmm. And there's been all these rumors that Marceau cheats and he might have outside kids and so on and so on. There's no proof of this. Anyway, come to find out, Marceau, I don't know how this nigga did this. He convinced his wife that he needed to get away and clear his mind, right? This nigga went to Africa. Oh, he claims Dolo. This nigga went to Africa, left his wife and kids at home, went to Africa. They don't specify like what country. Weeks. And they don't specify what country. They don't say what country either. They just say Africa to clear his mind for 2 weeks.
Instagram. What the fuck?
He's like, nigga, how did you... And she's sitting there like, well, you know, I really wanted to go. I wish I was
there. That nigga was in Brazil. They cut the shit.
Like, Africa, my nigga? Really?
Who flies 20-something hours?
That nigga was in DR.
Nigga thought he was Nas at the end of Belly.
Word.
Yo, sincere.
Second family to Cancun. That's what literally. That was.
That's crazy.
And she's sitting there like, she's acting like she wasn't even really upset. She's just like, well, I wish we could have went. It would have been a nice trip.
At a certain point in these types of relationships, there's a level of denial that women adopt just to be able to cope with it. Yeah, and to not lose your shit. Like, you have to kind of, you rationalize certain things to yourself. Like, well, I mean, you know, we want to go back to the motherland and connect with his roots. You know, some shit like that. Like, you will tell yourself some shit.
He is saying all the chauvinist shit out loud. Like, he is loud. Ugh. It's unbearable.
It's incredible. And then
I told y'all 30 minutes into watching that nigga what he was. Told y'all what he was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you ain't been wrong. That nigga's terrible. All three of these niggas is terrible, to be honest. All three of the men on this show are awful, awful niggas. Like, they're horrible, horrible niggas. Maurice, Martel, and Marcel.
Yeah, the three of them.
Lewis,
the other dude.
Lewis might be a terrible nigga, but he ain't showed all his cards.
I think he's a reformed terrible nigga. This is a new marriage. They've been together like 2 or 3 years.
It feels like a year and change. Oh, been together, but they haven't been married like a year and change.
Well, that was... I have no idea where we are show. It should still be called Bad Marriages.
Yeah.
And really flailing and fledgling singing careers, because what is Destiny doing? What was Destiny?
I was like, are you serious? She was dead ass with it.
It was dead ass. Painful.
She was dead ass. Dead ass serious with it. She was like, this is my single, nigga. Like, I'm shooting a video and everything.
I just hope we don't get any more of like Miss Wanda this season.
Oh, we know Wanda's coming. Wanda's coming. Wanda's coming. Wanda's definitely coming. I don't know when.
First episode, I'm already exhausted. Like, I just don't want to watch this. I want Kimmy to get away from all of those crazy people, because she's the only one that's kind of sane, and I don't know. I'm over it. I ain't got nothing to say about it.
Yeah, it's not much to say, but I'm going to keep watching.
Beautiful game.
And then there's another show, another new owned show that I think, I don't know if y'all would watch it, but the premise is crazy. It's called Marry Me.
Oh yeah, we talked about it on the show, and I saw y'all in the text like, "I can't do this every week" or some shit like that. Y'all said something like that.
So nigga. The tension, the anxiety, because they literally leave you to the last like 5 or 7 minutes to see if this nigga is gonna say yes, because the guy thinks that they're on like a house hunting show.
Yeah, so
that's lied
to the nigga.
And she
he has no idea what's going on.
Fully dressed for the wedding to propose to the dude.
And the nigga he turns around, and the woman's walking up to him in a bridal gown, veil and everything.
That's too much. Yeah. It's too much.
And the nigga's like, what are you doing?
embarrassment of it all.
There's a lot of norms. There's a lot of norms I can cast aside or evolve, or I believe need to evolve. I would never propose to a man, because I believe that's one thing that you cannot pressure a man into doing, because it won't go well. But I won't knock people who do, because I know some have done it and it's worked. But you don't surprise anybody with a marriage. Like, nigga. That's not a woman, not a man. Like, so not only
what happens is the lady walks up and then if he when he says yes, they're like, okay, it's happening now.
Right now. Nah.
Right now. We're going to the church right now.
It's no, and then there's like an awkward ass car ride where he's in regular clothes and she's in a full gown.
And that nigga staring out the window like, what the fuck is happening right now?
The nigga was looking at her like, what is going on? Because in this first episode, the bride had not met anybody on his family. Like,
what are you doing? That's so she's doing herself a disservice. Like, nigga, yes, but the producers need to pause so we can go to therapy. We can get this counseling popping. We can talk. Like, no, it's this is bad. It's just all bad. And I will say this. So I want to shout out this podcast called For Color Nerds. And they were talking about reality, like dating and love TV, because there's also, I don't know if y'all saw, there's this show on right now that's kind of like The Bachelor meets Bridgerton, but the first woman is Black, and I'm just like, everything about this is backwards.
Is that the consent, just... the consent, what's it called?
Yeah, whatever
the fuck. The courtship?
Yeah.
A few minutes of that, it was horrible.
It looked horrible. The trailer looked horrible. And the fact that the first one was a Black woman, I was like, girl, what are you doing? But anyway, because we would not have been out here back in these fucking Victoria era days, like, chilling. Like, what is wrong with you? So anyway, or the Gilded Age days, whatever that portrays. But so they were talking about how hard it is to like see something with Black people where it's not like the Black folks are fetishized, or they're just a token, or they're just like, mm-hmm. there's actually like another Black person meet. But I think the marriage shit, like Married at First Sight, Love is Blind, now this shit, or even that Family or Fiance joint, there's so much about the seriousness of marriage that these miss that concerns me. You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. You can't just run into some impromptu marriage shit. This is, you can't. Yeah, it's not a good idea. Yeah, it's just not a good idea.
But I will be watching. It was a mess though. Your man, like, he definitely was. He was shook. And like, his mother, who came was his sister, and I think, was it her daughter?
Yeah, his niece that he's really close to. Something happened with her dad, and he's like, yeah,
well, his parents weren't there.
No, his parents, mother was not there. His mother was not there.
Does he have kids?
He got kids.
They were not consulted or invited or anything. So
I can't imagine how it went afterwards. It was a mess. Let's move on. I want to talk. Did y'all watch the Earthquake special?
I did.
What special?
Earthquake, the comedian.
The comedian? He has a special. Yeah. I didn't know he has
on Netflix. A Netflix joint.
Oh, I'm gonna go watch.
Dave Chappelle produced.
Yeah, Dave, and it's short. It's like 35 minutes. It's really short.
I like Earthquake a lot. I'll go watch it.
Yeah, it was funny. I was saying, you know, you should watch it if you haven't. It's really funny. Let's talk. Oh, I know what I want to talk about. Daylight savings time. So I guess we ain't got
Congress unanimously.
Go ahead, bro.
I just want to say I'm glad we, you know, fixed this issue that was plaguing the entire United States. Like, this was such a pressing issue.
It was such a pressing issue.
I'm like, when, this was the most, I had random. No fucking idea that this was even a thing, man.
There's been a discussion about whether or not it's still necessary because we haven't been an agricultural society in so long, which is what it's based on. But like,
but I didn't know it was on the floor
the past
for votes.
Legislature, I did know that there are other countries that don't do it. But it's like
Marco Rubio woke up real early that Monday morning after daylight savings and was like, "Fuck it," and wrote a bill and threw it to the House. That's what happened.
Them niggas really passed that shit like the Monday after daylight savings time.
Yes,
like,
they did.
Like, we're fed up.
So what happens now in the winter? What will it look like?
We do not.
So we are going to fall back one more time. And
but
then
we
that's
don't
it.
Spring forward.
Right.
There's no more springing forward.
They're not instituting it until next year. So yeah, no more springing forward.
So the following
week, I get my hour back.
Yes, and you get to keep it forever.
That's all I need to know. I was worried about my hour. That hour is real when you start getting up there, nigga. That hour is important.
Yo, we used to
real when you got kids. Kids don't care about that shit.
And you know, I think they did do a study that there were like more accidents at work, more accidents in traffic going to work. You know, because
I don't know how
throws everything off.
He was tired.
I don't know how people deal with you're on shift during that time. Like, how do they? I don't know how they account for that. But for us, it used to be that used to always be the Sunday that we had to sing. My choir had to sing. It was like second Sunday or whatever. And that losing that hour, oh my God! When you gotta be at 8 o'clock service,
wear your ass out.
That should make a difference.
Wear your ass out.
Difference.
I want to talk about two horrific crimes that happened in New York last week, right after we taped, actually. One was the stabbing at the MoMA, which was on film. They caught it on film.
Which was
wild. There's a white guy. He was a former patron. His membership had either expired or they didn't renew it or something happened.
Maybe they might have revoked it.
Revoked it.
They said it was revoked.
Yeah, probably because of some motherfucker he did. So on film, this is like a Saturday afternoon. So it's like prime time in a museum in New York City.
Well, the one saving grace was that the weather was really shit last Saturday.
Yeah, it wasn't like sunny. It was like rainy and dreary. They showed a guy, he comes in, literally leaps over the counter into where the workers are. And he's a worker at a museum. They're not being tough. And like just start stabbing people. Like, it's crazy. All because he wanted to go get into an exhibit and his membership was revoked.
I mean, he's clearly not a well person, but it was just really frightening. Really frightening. Apparently has been known for wreaking havoc in a couple of other places in the city. I can't remember where off the top of my head. So they know who the suspect is. They just couldn't at the time. I don't know if they've apprehended him since, but at the time.
They got him. They caught him. He went to Philly.
Okay.
He wasn't all that off. He knew to run.
Exactly. Right. It had the means to do it.
That was crazy. And then I think it might even have been the same day or the next day. It was an old woman who was well loved. I think she was a voice teacher and well loved in her community. And she worked with a lot of people off and on Broadway for years. I think it might have even been in her 80s. Walking home. And this woman, this white woman, just shoved her down to the ground. I guess maybe she was trying to get around her or whatever. Shoved the woman down to the ground. The woman died from her injuries. And they just caught the girl literally well before we tapped on today. 26 years old. She's been on the run for like a week and a half.
You know that was heavy entitlement.
Yeah, that's like, crazy. What are you doing? They had video of her, so they were going to catch her. But it's just like, just go around, bro. Like, just you don't have to shove the lady down to the ground. And you killed this woman.
Yeah. Like,
for nothing. So I'm very curious to see how they treat this this case. If they're going to throw the book at her, if they're going to do the leniency. I'm very curious to see what happens here. But New York is...
I would say that her going... If I would say that any opportunity for leniency would probably have been negated by her running.
Yeah. Yeah, for this long too.
Yeah.
It's a mess. I also wanted to mention, did y'all, any of y'all watch Bad Vegan?
Yes, I did.
And I turned it off as soon as she gave
white
me
women
money.
Are not okay. I
want to talk about that on a big, I mean, we don't talk about Bad Vegan, but Netflix, somebody on Netflix again needs a raise because they've tapped into this kind of thing between Inventing Anna, Bad Vegan,
the Tinder Swindler.
And what was the other one with the guy?
The roommate joint.
No, is that
the worst roommate ever?
No, that too. No, but there was the other one when the guy was right before Tinder Swindler where this guy said he was they always say there's somebody like a secret agent or something.
Oh, what was that shit? I know what you're talking about, but I can't remember the name of it right now.
Yeah, but there's like a thing of all of these stories. It's almost like white people using white privilege against themselves.
But it's also not a new thing. This is what Dateline and Snap and shit like that has been doing forever. They just are now doing more polished,
more polished versions of it.
Versions of it. That's it. I mean, because
you're just watching people like Bad Vegan, this woman had this amazing restaurant, just getting money, and it's super popular, and
early in the raw food movement.
Wild early in the raw food movement and celebrities coming through. And then she let this one dude like, just drive her shit into the ground.
Like, insane. Like, it's so like the story of this is so, because I kept having to go back and watch some episodes because I was like, what just happened?
Yeah.
Because the way this man got into this woman's head just honestly doesn't make sense
at all.
Because it's like, yeah, he was flossing and doing stuff, but there's nobody who can show that he had. It's not even like the Tinder swindler where it's like, where if you Google the name, some shit came up or whatever. Like, this guy's story was very thin, but one of the people.
It wasn't even thin. Remember at the beginning, she found out that his name that she gave him wasn't even him.
Yeah, I think he was in it already because the coworker said something about he called the office. Real name came up, and that's all. That's after they were already in a relationship. But she wasn't even really that into dude. That's A. She wasn't even really that into dude
because she was into your man Alec Baldwin.
She was definitely into Alec Baldwin. She wasn't even really that into dude, but he was so like worshiping of her that she bought into it. But the thing is that one of the guys who, for those who haven't seen him, one of the guys who is on the interview panel actually wrote the story for, was it for Vanity? For Vanity Fair?
Probably. I think it
was for Vanity Fair. But he said something, and this was near the end, and this was like the...
It was Vanity Fair.
This is the thing that stood out to me. He said, people in that early vegan space, because, you know, some people do treat veganism like a cult or like it's a religion right there. Hit you in the head, event, which is why people don't like vegans. But he was like, people in that early vegan space especially also tend to also move in like the new age spaces, mysticism. They tend to be more open to like ideas of alternative realities and shit like that. Yep. And also like, I can't remember if he said this part or if to me this was the implied part. They think they're fucking special, right? Yeah. So this woman clearly thought that all this bullshit this guy was selling her about their lives coming together and there being secret forces at work and shit being supernatural. I think she thought she was special enough that could be real, right? Like the idea of like a reality check just kind of blew over her head because she's like, of course I'd be chosen for some shit like this, right? But none of it, like you can see it in other documentaries, like for example when you watch the NXIVM doc and they show how they get into these people's heads slowly over time, I don't know how he got there with her. Like it just did not make sense to me, and he was almost never physically with
her. You know what I know what I read, I forget where it was, but it was on Twitter. Somebody made a really interesting point because, like you said, she wasn't into him.
Right.
And he came in lying to her about having money. And he said something about he was going to get like some, I don't know,
$5 million. Her $2 million to clear her debt.
Yes. And so it was almost like she thought she was scamming him. She was like, well, I would
give she married him so that she wouldn't have to pay tax on the
$2 million. So she thought she was scamming him by saying, I'm gonna marry this nigga, I'm gonna get this 2M, and then I'm gonna clear my debts, and then I'm bouncing, and then he flipped it back on her.
Right.
Remember when I said to you a long time ago, I said on the show, the greatest thing that the con man does is letting you think he's the mark.
Yep.
That's the greatest hustle ever.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And that's exactly what he did. He let her think that she was getting him, she was gonna clear her debt, and da-da-da-da. And, you know, because she had plans. She was going to open, you know, restaurants in L.A. She had gone to Tokyo to about open one. And she had investors. And, like, it wasn't about
that
you were going to
And the crazy shit is that had he not come into the picture, she would have got all that shit done because she was good. She was finally in the black. She was on her way. And then this nigga started doing stupid shit. But my other thing is, like, the same thing with Tinder Swindler. There seemed to be no long game here because this nigga just blew through this money. He was just gambling the money away. And I'm like, you had to know at some point if anything, you're married to this woman, skim off the business, sure. Like, create some other tiers so that y'all, you know, generate some more shit you can skim off of. Start selling some kind of subscription, membership, something. That's always the next step. But, like, keep it going so that you have a well to go back to. He just led the shit dry. And it's
and
like
the thing is, he bled it dry, but not even not that this makes it better or worse. But it wasn't like Tennyson. I mean, he did buy some trinkets and some watches and stuff, but like he wasn't like PJing and all that. He blew through it gambling.
Yeah,
like he had a $1 million bill at Mohegan Sun.
Which is crazy.
$1 million debt. He was just a gambler.
That's
and
it.
An asshole. And
that's like the biggest.
Nobody who works for Black Ops will ever say the word Black Ops to you. Nobody right. who works exactly. for the CIA will let you know that they work for the fucking CIA. They will say, yeah. I work at NSA, at Fort Meade, these kinds of things. I want right. women. I don't feel like this happens to Black women a lot. Like, we just pay, you know, we'll pay your cell phone bill and these kinds of things.
Yeah, the Black women get gapped.
We get your Macy's card. Black women get your Macy's card in no time.
Get a guest card.
Black women will give you money towards your business or the you know, bail. We'll waste money on bail and shit.
But, like,
yeah.
Girl,
that's my thing. He was like, yo. I work for the CIA. I'm doing all these secret things, but I need $5,000. I'm like, what? How does that go together?
His thing was, it was a test. It was a loyalty test. And the money's just sitting there. What are you talking about? My tens of thousands of dollars just sitting there. Sitting where?
It was on the shelf. It was on the
Why
shelf.
Why are people going to ask about questions for me? Sitting where? And for what? For whom? Who is watching it? And then he was connected to this secret IT person. And the IT person is asking for all her passwords and shit. Nigga, for what?
She gave it to him.
Where was your business manager? Wow,
gave it to him passwords.
This is why I don't feel sorry for any of them.
I'd have been like,
don't you sorry for her. I didn't suffer at all.
I'd have been like, don't you work for the CIA, nigga? Fuck, you need my passwords for, can't you?
Yeah, don't you goddamn shit? Go ahead and get into that shit. And even her mom got $400,000.
$400,000 from her mom's.
What?
Because her mom's, he would be like, yo, she's sick. She needs the money. Send money.
A nigga couldn't call my mom and ask for more than $10 without my mama calling me and being like, the fuck is going on?
Who is
like,
this nigga?
And then being on a flight, like, on at my door.
But you know what?
You call my mama, she calling me immediately.
This like, nigga said, you can't
this nigga
come
call
to
me $5. What the fuck? Who's this nigga?
He said, I need to wire her money immediately, and you can't come to the phone. So I'm here. What the fuck is happening?
400 right racks.
What?
And then come find out that the IT guy that was asking for shit was him.
Which was, I'm not name. Giving no stranger ass IT nigga all my, get the fuck out of here.
But you know what I didn't like about this girl, too?
But you know what that is?
She was in on a lot of this shit. Like, towards the end, she knew what was going on.
I think she knew what was going on, even if she was trying to rationalize it to herself. But the thing at the beginning is, here's what I really think. I think that she wanted to have this really great business and be fly and be beloved by celebrities and be in celebrity circles, but she didn't want to actually do the business part. And she didn't want to handle the books. She didn't want to handle the accounting. She didn't want to worry about the debt. She didn't want to actually run the shit. And so she was just looking for, she was looking for anybody who could just do that shit for her. So when this nigga came on, she was way too willing to just not ask a bunch of questions because that was a headache for her. And, you know, the operational shit was a headache for her. And it's like, it's unfortunate, but like, I don't feel sorry for this bitch at all because she still seems a little ditzy about some of this shit. Like,
yeah,
they talking about a house that you had to like change form to get it. Like, it's all stupid. I'm like, what are y'all talking about?
She had a dog that he claimed if he did this thing, the dog would be immortal.
Live forever. I'm like,
immortal, a dog. And she believed it.
But I do want to say, we talk a lot about how Black people are not susceptible to scamming. We're not susceptible to certain kinds of scams, but, you know, the religious cult shit, we are. And that's the difference.
And
the
mean susu.
And that's what I'm saying. If you've been part of a susu, and think about how many Black people do MLM/pyramid scheme shit, like Wake Up and Herbalife and Forex.
Nigga, you over there thinking you about to watch the game? And
this nigga trying to sell you prepaid legal,
nigga.
All that shit. That shit is two steps off a cult, like legit.
Listen. I got a story, and I'm not going to mention
it. It's all the same shit.
I'm not going to mention my man's name because I love him dearly. He's one of my besties. He had got caught up in the Five Link shit, and I'll never forget. Julian was like 2 years old or something like that.
Right.
And he had come to my crib over on Riverside. I'm literally giving Julian a bath. And this nigga is sitting on the toilet.
Trying to sell you.
Like flipping through his pamphlet, like his binder. I'm like, my nigga, like, really, man? He's like, no, I just got to show you how you can say what. I was like, nigga, I just do it. Just get the fuck out the bathroom, bro.
A friend of mine's mom was pitching me at her daughter's bridal shower. I was like, this is your daughter's bridal shower, and I don't understand what you're talking about. So can we talk about this at some other time? But that's
Can we just do the wobble?
But it's the same thing. Like, I just wanted to say that because I'm like, white women are not okay. And I don't think we would get taken by the same shit that we see people get taken by. But I just don't want us to act like black people.
We don't get, it don't happen on our side either.
The scam, because we really believe in a get rich quick. We be quick. If a nigga say, you give me $100, I'm gonna give you back $3. Niggas will do that shit. That's all I'm saying. Like, I know people who do things like that. So we just gotta be,
we gotta be careful.
Shortcomings.
Say no to everything. Say no to everything. What was the other thing I wanted to talk? Oh. Jussie.
Oh,
Jussie Smollett. So he got out on bond this week past, and it's just been nonstop. Just, you know, a lot of people was like, fuck Jussie. I include myself in that camp. And there's a lot of other people who just are just constantly making excuses and trying to rationalize that he's being persecuted and what he did wasn't that bad. And why are they doing this to him? And he, you know, almost making him a martyr. And you know, him getting out on bond didn't help people's perception of it, even though the case is not over. But what do y'all been thinking about this whole Jussie thing for the past week or so?
I think that black people have a hard time for understandably historical reasons. We have a really hard time holding other black people to a certain level of accountability in public.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think that the actual crime itself that Jussie committed didn't warrant the sentence he got, but I believe that people aren't taking into account his behavior following. Like, there was no point at which he ever flipped and cooperated. Never. And he still insists he did nothing wrong. And he's acting like he's a political prisoner. And the thing for me with all of this is that what Jussie did because he wanted more time on fucking Empire. Like, he did for his own selfish reasons. This was not him championing any kind of cause. Like, this was him trying to garner attention and sympathy and raise alarms to leverage his deal. And I'm like, that alone, like, that motivation alone to set us back in a prime moment of struggle and fight for actual justice causes. Like, right wing people love to bring up Jussie every time anything happens with black people right now.
They're
like, it's another Jussie. So it's like, nigga, you set a movement back, and you are supposed to be
for your own selfish reasons. You know, and you're still going.
He had a chance
to get out. He had a chance to shut the fuck up.
Yeah,
and they would have let it go, but he keeps wanting to press it, and now when he want to make a scene in the courtroom, what'd he say? I'm not suicidal and all this other shit.
Didn't he do an interview with like Gail or some shit like that? Like, my thing, didn't he do an interview with somebody?
I ain't see the interview.
Yeah, right.
But what I'm saying is
he did early on, and he
lied,
reenacted the.
You
That's
doing
when I knew
too
he
much.
Was lying.
Yeah, you're doing too much. He was like fucking Soulja Boy with the bap, bap, bap. Like, you're doing too much. And like, that's the part that I can't let slide. And that's the part that got him this sentence, is that you are continuing to waste not only police resources, but he's lucky that the feds ain't charging him too, because he wastes their time as well.
Yeah. My thing is, like, you want to make that movie in the court and da 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 and put your fist up and all that shit, and not even 24 hours after they closed them the bars behind you, they was like, he was like, I need to get out. I think I'm gonna get corona. I ain't feeling good. They want me because I'm gay. Yeah. It's like, okay, nigga, you made the movie. You made the movie. Now you in here, not even 24 hours later, you begging them to open the doors and let you out. I can't fuck with your man, bro. I can't fuck with your man. Bro, you got anything? You got anything on this one? Inka, you got anything on this one?
He's committed to this lie. That's all I got.
We're going to die on this lie.
I don't have anything.
I think he's at that point. And I think he's at that point in the stage of like, I'm not saying he's a narcissist, but this is a narcissistic act.
I'm saying it.
He's at that point where he's begun to believe. I think there's always a point where they begin to believe their own narrative because they have to. Mm-hmm. They have to commit to it that hard. And I think that this nigga actually believes that people were persecuting him and trying to, you know, do to him, you know, just, you know, bring him down. And he now believes he's truly a victim in this. And I'm just like, but you're not. And I saw somebody say, you know, he needs community around him. He's needed all that shit. Has Jesse sought help or therapy or anything at any point? This has been going on for years now. Like, at any point has he been like, I'm under a psychological care? I'm doing, like, no, because he's still committed to the fucking lie.
And that's the problem.
Mm-hmm. It does us no good. You know, your personal feelings about him aside, if he's a dear friend or a colleague or you've worked with him, or the fact that he's a black man, the fact that he's, you know, some people love him personally, that's all great. He is still wasting time and resources and working against actual justice movements, and he's a fucking liar. Like, he's lying. Exactly. He's still lying. Everybody.
Go on, sit down somewhere, Jesse.
There's no integrity in any of this.
None of it. Some of you goofball niggas is still riding out. You know, well, the police be lying. And they do. And Chicago's dirty. It is. But in this case, there's clear footage, there's video footage, everything, that the nigga rehearsed the crime before he even did it. Like what are we doing here, man? Like,
It's one of those cases where multiple things can be true. Chicago can be fucked up, but Jesse did was fucked up. Like, both
just, and not Jesse said he gonna sue the African brothers.
Oh, God.
He's ridiculous, man. He's ridiculous. So that's all I got, man. I ain't got no more. Oh, bro, how you been with these gas prices? You been good? Are they coming down or still up there?
Nah, they ain't coming down. I spent
not fast enough.
A smooth matter of fact.
He got his receipt.
Got the paper receipt.
75.01 regular.
99.87.
Nigga, regular. I put in regular. 17.8 gallons. That was $75 today.
Did it take you to full?
Yeah, I'm like right at the nozzle. Like, I probably could have gone to maybe like 85. You know what I'm saying? But I'm good. So I stopped it at 75.
My dad, 75 the gas is burning faster. They're adding more ethanol to the gas to further rip you off.
Conspiracy.
That's what your father said? That's what your father said?
Yes.
Hey. What's your dad's first name again?
Kermit. No.
Kermit? No, I want to be respectful. Mr. Kermit, Kermit got a point now. I ain't going to ask Mr. Kermit.
You got to fill it up at 6 a.m. If you fill it up after,
then
the thing is going to burn differently.
He only goes to one gas station.
Of course he does.
Up the street, and they only pay cash. So.
Of course.
And he calls it the filling station, don't he? Going to the filling station.
He's not quite that old, but he's complaining about filling up his RV, and I'm like, damn.
Oh, God.
All jokes aside, I don't say this like lightly. Like, I can totally see how this is impacting people where they are counting, you know, $20 here and $20 there can be very insignificant for a lot of us, but that's not insignificant for some people. Mm-hmm. That's the difference between being able to, you know, put chicken, you know, 6 days a week on the table or not. So,
yeah.
I really do feel for the people that have to go around. They're also doing some surcharges right now, I believe, with like the ride sharing and the delivery services.
Absolutely. Because Uber
it's brutal, man. It's brutal on people. And yeah, I mean, are we being gouged? Sure, we're being gouged. Yeah. This is really, you know, I'm you know, was reading something about the gas prices. and what they are now versus what the barrel of oil is and versus what it was before. I mean, we're definitely being jammed up here, but they're going to make up. They're going to make up for that bread that was lost in those two years of us not moving around.
Now, conspiracy theory I've been hearing, it ain't that far, it ain't that crazy. If you think about it, this is a move by people by the people to sell more electric cars, and all the car companies now have the e cars and electric cars. Of course, you got Tesla and all that, but you got Ford and everybody has electric cars.
I know we're wrapping up, but I'm gonna tell you who ain't gonna be in a motherfucking electric car, okay? Sean Young.
You ain't plugging your shit up at night.
Nigga, you will not have me on the side of 95 with the dead battery, nigga. Absolutely the fuck not. I will pay whatever it costs for me to get in my car. I got 100 years of fucking consistency. And if I gotta pay whatever I gotta pay to keep my 100-year consistency and these GMs and these Fords to get me where I need to be, that's what's going to happen.
Like I said, American made.
I pull over to any gas station in the country and get my shit fixed. You fuck around with them Teslas and you going to Juan and Mr. Willie Earl. Ain't fucking with them Teslas and them electric cars. I'm telling you that right now. You better charge that battery up.
How Cheyenne like it, Nye?
I don't even know yet. I haven't had a chance to really talk to her about it.
Niggas can't even keep their iPhone charged all the way.
I'm going down there to see. Car charged all the way. But I know she found a black girl on an Instagram group that she got Instagram page.
Piece to the, I'm assuming, rich white kid who took his Tesla and jumped it in LA somewhere in Echo Park and tore his shit apart just for the gram. Literally for the gram, he did that.
Over a hill, and then he hit another car in the neighborhood.
Don't worry, but 5G.
All right, Ivy said it's time for us to wrap.
It's time for us to wrap.
She definitely just pulled my headphones out.
All right, we'll wrap it up on that note. We'll see y'all next week.
Later. Bye.
And that's what's popping in the world of entertainment. Thank you for listening to the Pop Life Podcast with Jeffrey, Naima, and Sean. Want to be a part of the show? We've got three ways you can get involved. Like us on Facebook. Send us your burning questions to poplifepodcast@gmail.com. And follow us on Twitter @PopLifePodcast.